Obaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter number 7. I'm talking to you about God's heart for the local church. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse somewhere there. Okay, let's begin from what I want to talk about is in 37. But let's begin from verse 1. Hallelujah. So it's going to be a very solid reading. My emphasis is in verse 37. Hallelujah. So underline 37 in your Bible if you came with a Bible that belongs to you. Okay. 37 and 38. Hallelujah now. All right, so let's begin. Verse 1. This is that Moses. Oh, no. Go to verse 1. Verse 1. Act 7, 1. Quickly. Then said the high priest, are these things so? So the background should actually take us to chapter 6. All right? So you can't just read a scripture and you hear, then said the high priest, are these things so? What happened? What are we talking about? All right? So let's go to verse chapter 6. I can give you the background, but then I want us to read so you know it's in the Bible. Chapter 6, let's begin from 20. To 50, it's up to 15. Okay, so let's begin from 10. I don't want us to begin from 1. Okay, let's begin from 5. Okay, and the same pleased the whole multitude. So what saying was that? Let's begin from 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. 5. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And what happened? The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, hallelujah, glory to God. These are things when you read, you should not just run and just, hallelujah. The Bible says the man was full of faith and power. Hi, hallelujah. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's a good thing. Look at that. He says, katavaya. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Two strong virtues in a man. Faith and power. Glory to God now. And Stephen, full of faith and power. In other words, he was full of the power of the Spirit. He was full of the ability of the Spirit. Glory to God. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. I have a lot of things to say there. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Hallelujah. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. This particular guy called Stephen, we have to study him. Yeah. They saw his face like the face of an angel. His face was literally shining. Then said the high priest, are these things so? So now you, to the chapter 7, you get it now? So he says, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Underline that. Circle it or underline that in your own Bible. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and into the land which I will show thee. Next verse. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he will give it to him for a possession. Hallelujah. And to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they leave forth and serve me in this place. Now, so serve me in this place. Underline that. Serve me in this place. Underline that. I want you to follow the story, all right? Aha. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, Elijah said God. And after that, they shall come forth and serve me. So God is telling, God told Moses that, you know what? Abraham, that this is the reason I'm going to bring a seed out of you. And the seed that is going to come out of you will be for the purpose of serving me. All right? So the children of Abraham, or the children of Israel, as we call them, were born into the promised land to serve God. So they were brought, they were selected from among all other people to serve God. Now that is the primary responsibility God outlines for these people. Hallelujah. In this place. Let's continue. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. 10. And delivered him out of his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth, that is drought, hunger, over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance, they found no food. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. Who? What is the our fathers he's talking about? Huh? Come on. We have really thought, I've thought on this before. Okay, all right, the patriarchs. Next verse. And at the time, at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor and the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God has sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. I don't talk about that. Next verse now. Till another king arose which knew not Joseph. Hi. This thing is heavy in my spirit right now. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. You see, the Bible says that when the promise drew nigh, the people responded to the... You see, I spoke to you on Wednesday about God's move, God's revival. And it is very important for you to know. So the children of Israel were just there. They were just enjoying their lives. And suddenly, you know, maybe some years back, somebody is going to give birth and it's one. Suddenly, triplets, twins, quadruplets, and it's going on and on and on. It's like the people are growing in a certain equation that is beyond human comprehension. Hallelujah. And the growth was happening. So, the first king who knew Joseph was like, all right, that's fine. I mean, people are just growing. Then, another king came. In the midst of the growth, as they were nearing the promise, they started facing hardships. Are we together in this place? They started facing serious hardships. To the point that they wanted to kill every male child that is born. See, it tells you sometimes certain persecutions come on people because they are nearer to the promise. Are we together in this place? Certain things happen to people sometimes because, see, when God's promise is on a man, one of the ways you can know is the multitude of troubles that he goes through. No, if you are in this world and you don't have any story to tell, please, you are not going anywhere. I can promise you that. Because the devil can smell promise. He may not know the promise, but he can smell the promise. Say, I'm going somewhere. You didn't come to church tonight. Say, I am going somewhere. You don't mean it. Say it again. I am going somewhere. One more time. I am going somewhere. Now tell the neighbor by your side, I believe you are going somewhere. Hallelujah. So in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Aha. Next verse. Is there one simple statement I want to make? Next verse. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Next verse. 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart. Some things are very powerful. It came into his heart. to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. It came into his heart. Glory to God. 24. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian and killed him. 25. For he was supposed his brethren would have understood how that God would by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. This is to pastors. It's not to you. Continue. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, get out of here. Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger. This one too is a message. Then fled Moses. So the deliverer became a stranger in a foreign land. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay, let's forget about that. Then see, when I read the Bible, there are a lot of things I see inside. Hallelujah. Maybe on a normal day, somebody will just read that and just... But these things are serious messages. Like, these are serious. Hallelujah. Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at his sight, and he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Oh, hallelujah now. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Hi. Glory to God. For the place where thou standest is holy ground. See, this is not about going to church and removing your shoes. It has nothing to do with that. You see, Stephen is bringing that little statement in there when God told Moses, take off your shoes. For the place you stand is a holy ground. I didn't come to preach that. I'm telling you, it's a nice this thing. For the place where thou standest is a holy ground. Next verse. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I've heard their groaning, and I'm come down to deliver them. And now I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Say in the bush. Next verse. He brought them out. Come on. Now you're going to underline that. He brought them out. See, that you were a deliverer does not mean that you'll be accepted by everybody. Hallelujah. That you are not respected and anybody can tell you their mind does not mean that the calling has been taken off your head. Praise the name of the Lord. He brought them out, underline it, after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. That's all that I'm looking for, church in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? So this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Hallelujah. Let's finish the reading. to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their heart turned back again into Egypt. Look at that. And go back. And in their heart turned back again into Egypt. None of them went back to Egypt, but they went back in their heart. This is a serious message. All right. 40, last verse. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as to this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. It means we don't know what has become. Now let's go to verse 38. Now the Bible calls the children of Israel the church in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Now you remember what God said. God said, I am going to bring them out of slavery into this place where they will serve me. Hallelujah. The idea of the church, the idea of church or a local church did not begin in the New Testament. The idea of a congregation began from the Old Testament. Praise the name of the Lord. So a meeting together, a calling out to meet together, a congregation, an assembly, and stuff like that. Those things, it's not a recent development by Jesus. The church was originally found in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And what is the idea? When the Bible calls them the church in the wilderness, what is the church in the wilderness? Now, you remember when you go to Exodus 12, you will find out when the people were in slavery. Hallelujah. And you see, people ask the question, you know, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And your seed will inherit so and so and so. There will be this and that and that. But before the promise begins to come to pass, what's going to happen is that they are going to be in slavery for 400 years. And then I'll bring them out of the slavery. Now you are asking yourself, somebody has obeyed you. Somebody obeyed you. You are giving prophecies, promises to the person. What has that got to do with the person going into, the person's children going into slavery for that number of years? What do you seek to achieve? God wanted to teach something. Hallelujah. Because the promises that God was giving is not just a promise of money. It's not a promise of wealth. It's not a promise of anything. But it's a promise of the church and the power of the church. All that God said, that's what it is. Hallelujah. Now, so how did God begin? Now, God enters into, breaks into these people who are in slavery, who are in Egypt, who are under the dominion of Pharaoh. So you understand when the Bible says, and I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Some of you have to ask the question, why will you harden somebody's heart? And then still matter flashing. Hallelujah. So you begin to ask, why? Ask Nyankopon, ask no dear grobi. Nyankopon kakrake, I feel the only Pharaoh kitu enenya. And then you say, I'll make me a name. You know, I say, penyo ye sisi fo, sisi nkolari, I say, me aminyoga. Yeah, like a bully. Somebody who just bullies people because they are so wanty. Just so now I know I'm one. You know, soon to be in casa. So I just, no, that's not God. Hallelujah. But the idea is this. The idea is God making or God meeting Abraham with precious promises. Hallelujah. For his descendants. And then these descendants go into slavery. Hallelujah. And then God taking them out of slavery. God assembling them. God calling them out of slavery. So God calling them out. The calling them out into the wilderness is what the Bible calls the church. So the idea of the church, what is the church? What is the idea of the church? The idea of the church simply is those who have been called out from the world. Write that down. Hallelujah. These are those who have been called out. People who have been out from the world. Drop your leg, young man. Hallelujah. People who have been called out. Are we together in this place? People who have been called out. They've been called out from the world. They've been called out from Egypt. So, what is God's idea for the church? Why does the group of people that are referred to as the church in the wilderness, who are they? They are those people that have been or that were called out from Egypt. These are people that were called to be God's own. These are people that were called to walk with God. These are people that were called to know Him. These were people that were called to have a relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Now, you want to bring that into our day and our time. It tells you the church is simply people who are in the world that are called by God out of the world as an assembly. So we are called together to be an assembly. Called out of the world. And you see, God started the journey with Abraham. You remember the Bible says, and God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house, unto a land which I will show you. Praise the name of the Lord. So it is a taking out of a land and bringing into a different land. So now this, you have to understand that. Now that means when you are part of the church, when you say I am part of the church, you are saying that I have been taken out of a place, and it's not just a taking out. I need time for that now. It is not a taking out. It's not like God was just there and say, come. No. The Bible says that God delivered the children of Israel by mighty acts and demonstration of His power. It means that deliverance into becoming part of the church requires great demonstration of power. I need a lot of time for what I just told you. Hallelujah. That means nobody can become part of the church by wish and by want. It means that becoming a Christian or becoming part of the church is a miraculous expedition of God. It is God's power in demonstration. Now, follow me critically because I'm going to say some things. Hallelujah. Are you part of the church? Now, so if you say you're part of the church, what does that mean? It means that you have been taken out of a place and you have been brought into a place to become part of a people. My emphasis is on being taken out of a place and being brought into a place. All right, let's forget about the people now. I'll deal with that later. So it's the church, the idea of the church, God's definition of the church from these scriptures that we have read is a people who are in slavery. In other words, a people who are under the power of a master. The people who are under the power and the rulership of a principality or a name or a king. Are you understanding that? So it's people who are in a place where they don't have their freedom. And the more they cry for freedom, the more their burdens are increased. So it means that anyone who is in Egypt, so Egypt here refers to what? The world, right? So anyone that is in Egypt, the more they cry for freedom, the more they cry for liberty, the more their troubles increase. Are we together in this place now? And it's the same thing in the world. There are people who go through all kinds of things, who are praying to, I don't even know who they are praying to, but they are wishing, they are praying, they are demanding for their release. But the more they pray, the more their troubles increase. It takes the mighty hand of God to bring a taking out. That's what we call deliverance. Now, so it means that being saved or being part of the church is or cannot be done without the power demonstration of God. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because here, Stephen tells us that God took the children of Israel out of Egypt through mighty acts and mighty works and mighty deeds. And remember, that is a typology of our redemption. How God is going to deliver people from the world. And that is not going to be done. So as you are seated here, one thing you have to understand is that you were delivered from the world. You were delivered from the power of darkness by a great and mighty hand. Yeah. I want to say that again. So you have to understand, God is saying that becoming part of the church is a great power expedition of God. It's like God demonstrating great power. Are we together in this place now? And that was symbolized in what we just read. Say, nothing can hold me down. You did not come to church. Say, nothing can hold me down. Now, do you know why? Because you are part of the church. Who is part of the church? One who has been delivered by the mighty act of God, mighty power of God. A miraculous hand has delivered me. Now that's why I became part of the church. I became part of the church because a hand that is stronger than the hand of my enemy took me from the hand of my enemy and planted me in his own place to serve him. So I cannot be part of the church and still be battling with Pharaoh. You understand what I'm talking about? Why? Because Pharaoh and all his chariots, they sank deep in the water. I'm part of the church. Come on, I'm part of the church. Now sit down for 2 seconds. So what that means is that when we are talking about the church, the tag that is on the church or the tag that is on the one that is saved is that this one was delivered by a mighty hand. Or this one has a mighty hand that delivers him. So from the beginning of his life, which is the beginning of his faith, which is the beginning of becoming part of the church, it was a mighty act. You understand what I'm talking about now? Say, I'm delivered. You came to church, shouted, I am delivered. Now, so the idea is this. Here you are, let's say you were born into an idolatrous home. Your father operates a shrine. Your grandmother operates a shrine. Your nephews and your nieces, they all operate a shrine. And then God is selling an idea to you. And then you are a Christian. You've become born again. God is selling an idea to you. And the idea is this. Listen, as you take a look at how I delivered the children of Israel from the greatest power then, which was Pharaoh, that's the same thing. So it does not matter what has surrounded you. You are branded the delivered by a strong hand. Why can't I die in a plane crash? Why can't I die in an accident? Because the beginning of my days is, you see, that my days started with a strong hand delivering me. So this is how you know the church. The church is that body that were snatched from the world by the greatest power of God in demonstration. I belong to the church. You came to the church, shouted, I belong to the church. So it is the body that cannot be harmed. It is the body that cannot be crushed. Because you see, the Bible says, the more they oppressed the children of Israel, the more they increased. So it is a body that cannot be destroyed. It is a body that cannot, you cannot squash it
You can't squash it. It's a body you cannot extinguish them. You can't bring them to extinction. So the honor of Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, it's a done deal. When the church is set, there is no power or authority that can bring down the church. And the church is not the name. The church is not the gospel ways. The church is not the Pentecost. The church is not the assembly. The church is the people who have placed their faith in Christ Jesus. So the gates of hell shall not prevail. Don't think about Pentecost. Don't think about gospel waves. Don't think about assemblies. The gate of hell shall not prevail. Think about you. You are the church. So the gate of hell shall not prevail. So you know what? When you are at the workplace and there is power exchange, when you go back to your family, you went to visit or whatever, and then there is power collision, you have to understand something. It is not Rabbi that went. It is not Kwame that went. It is the church against the Davanu Shavai, the powers of darkness. And Jesus has said it already. The gate of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah now. Sit down for 2 seconds. I have not started teaching yet. So my children are safe. My children are safe. My family is safe because I am part of the church. Now, when you say you are part of the church, you are not saying I'm part of gospel waves. You are saying that I am part of the people who are delivered by mighty act of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's try and see. Hallelujah now. So I cannot be part of the church and then death prevails over me. I cannot be part of the church and the gate of hell prevails over me. I am part of the people that were delivered by the mighty act of God. Are we together in this place now? We have to understand that when we talk about the church, we are talking about a body, a group of people that God's own initiative brought them deliverance and formed them as one people. So no evil can thrive over us. I want to say that again. No evil can thrive over us. Hallelujah. We are a spiritual assembly. We have a tag on us. And the tag that is on us is that these people, you don't touch them because they were delivered by mighty act. No, why do you think people make jokes and say, is she from Volta region? Then please forget it. Don't. There is a tag. There is a tag. And you see, there is a tag that is bigger than coming from Volta region. Are we together? There is a tag that is bigger. It is a tag that says these people were delivered by a mighty hand. Are we together in this place now? So the Bible calls them the church in the wilderness. With the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So listen, the church in the wilderness, the selected people, the ecclesia, the congregation, the assembly of people, oh my God, in the wilderness. Come on here now. I don't want to go ahead of myself, but I like you when you say the church that was in the wilderness. It was not a church that was in the palace. It was a church that was in the wilderness. But you know what? They were still powerful. That God was still with them. You couldn't defeat them. Hallelujah now. It was a church. Let me tell you what. It's a church in the wilderness. But it is able to go over against a city. from the wilderness to a city and defeat the city. That is the power I'm talking about. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I mean, see, when the Bible talks about wilderness, it's not talking about a nice and sweet place. It's a church in a dry land. They didn't have any structure. They lived in tents. They lived in tents. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. When God gave them command to start taking over the lands, the Jericho and the Amalekite and whatever and all of that, you'll be shocked. This is a church that has not even been trained in battle. It's not a church that is trained in battle. But you see, there's a tag on them. There's a tag on them. Listen, some of the kings will hear that the children of Israel are coming, and then they will send letters to them to make peace agreement, because they will say that we have heard what these people, they are God, did to Pharaoh. So there are people, if you are smart, you don't fight them. Why? Because there is a tag shouted, I carry a tag. Glory, say, I carry a tag. Come on, I carry a tag. Madavaya, I carry a tag. I carry a tag. One more time, I carry a tag. One more time, I carry a tag. Then boom, they say, oh, somebody has been kidnapped. And then they kill you, it cannot happen. You carry a tag. If they like, they should put you in a room where there is no door. I'm telling you, the mighty hand of God can bring you out. I believe in the supernatural. And this is what distinguishes us from all other groups of the world. Glory to God now. Shabababaha. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sit down. So now God is selling out the idea that when it comes to the church, they are a different group. There are different groups in the world. But then there is another group. There's another assembly. There's another organization of people. And these people, what distinguishes them from every other group is that this particular group is God's group. It is a group that God formed by laying down his own life. It is a group, Mantavragadestes, I want to shout. It is a group that God formed using his own power. It is a group that was initiated by God. These guys were in slavery. They were just enjoying themselves. And they were going through all the things they were going through. They did not call for God. But then God rose up one day and he said that I want to form me a people. And I'm not going to look for free people. I want these people to be in serious bondage. I want them to be in serious bondage. I want them to be in a place where it looks like their life has come to an end. It looks like their life is halted. I want a people who have come to a place of no hope. I want a people who have come to a place of no dream, no vision. A people who have come to the end of themselves. They will not be able to run away from Pharaoh. And now I want to penetrate. I want to penetrate into their slavery with my greatest demonstration of my power. And by the time I'm done with them, the thing that
that holds them captive. It will let them go by the time I'm done with them. All their fears will be destroyed by the time I'm done with them. Atava, the fear of their past and the limitations of their slavery will be broken off. This is the church. This is the church. This is the church. And we are part of the church of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm part of the church. I am part of the church. So understand the power of what we call the church. Understand it. It is not a listen. It is not a church that was formed by tricks. It's not a church that God came and just gave words. It's not a church that the people were already free and God said, you know, come. I'm promising you a superficial freedom. It was a church that was in the clutches of the enemy. It was a church that was in the power of the enemy. It was a church. It was a people that were held captives by the devil. But hey, when God stepped in, Katava, Sebala Kusta, Itelekosaba, hey, my God, glory to God. Shabala Bahasaya. Sada Bakasaya. We are a church. A church of the Lord Jesus. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
So that's the idea that God wanted to craft so that we get it. That the putting together of an assembly called the church. Something that he does or he did by mere talk. Hallelujah. And that should let you understand his heart for the church. It is something God was ready to go into battle for. It is something that God was ready to exert much power for. The church is worth his life. Are we together in this place now? No, if we can understand what it means to be called the church of God, we are not, when we say the local church is the assembly of believers, sometimes we make it look light. The local church, yes, is an assembly of believers. But how did God put it together? So that's why it does not matter what is holding someone captive. You remember what the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It does not matter what is holding anybody captive. No matter what, people might have given up on the person, they are tired of the person,
when God's gospel steps in, it is able to dismantle any kind of power. This is how God forms the church. Look at that. This is what's called the superpower of the day. God decides deliverance has to come. And God sends Moses. We should get time to read that. God sends Moses. And Moses goes to Pharaoh. And he said, thus saith the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let, that statement, let my people go. It's like a warning. Let my people go, that they will worship him. They worship me. And Pharaoh says, I know this guy, Moses. How dare you? And then the Bible says, God told Moses and Aaron, when you go there, throw your stick to the ground. He throws it and it becomes a snake. And then Pharaoh goes like, such a fool. You think this is what we can't do? So you just went for this power. And you think you're somebody. All right, so he called all the magicians and said, come around. Look at what Moses has done. Then they also threw their rods on the ground. And the whole place was filled with snakes. And they are watching. And then the rod of Moses that was turned into a snake began swallowing all eye. I can teach on that too, I'm telling you. Began swallowing all the other snakes. Right before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is going like. And you see, the Bible did not say, and Moses' snake became bigger. Because, I mean, think about, let's go to Exodus, man. You should have been there a long time ago. Let's go to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 8. My God, hallelujah. Say, I am the saved of the Lord. One more time. I am the saved of the Lord. All right, let's begin from 5. Let's begin from 1. Actually, let's start from 1 so that we can. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. We'll talk about that. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Hey, I tell you, I say, I can teach this thing seriously. The purpose for the hardening, the purpose for the stubbornness of Pharaoh is so that God's power can multiply. Let me tell you something. If you say you have prayed, God is saying, this is what God is saying. If you think you have prayed about something and the thing is not going, it's not because I'm powerless before the matter. No, the thing is becoming very stubborn so that I can multiply power. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is a serious thing. So if you're praying about something and the thing looks very obstinate, don't say, I've prayed that it's not working. Say, this thing, I know what this means. You are ready for some multiplied power. How you understand what I'm saying with you? Glory to God. So listen, when a matter is persistent, it is not because it is powerful. It is so that God's power can be multiplied. It means that the testimony will be a loud one. Are we together in this place? Now, let's continue. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Not in any other land, but in the land where the enemy hosts his power. That's where I want to showcase power. Are we together in this place? All right, next verse. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Woo, glory to God now. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Next verse. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, 80 and 83, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and he became a serpent. Next verse. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantment. They say, hey, Moses. The guy is just sitting on the throne. Moses. And those days, their thrones were very high. So he's looking at them from like this. Say, Moses. What is that? A tiny little looking snake. Then he called for the magicians to come. And they also did the same thing. And the whole palace was filled with snakes. Next verse. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So the snake, it's serious. We don't have time. The rod of Aaron that became snake started swallowing up their snakes. Next verse now. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Now, so this is the miracle now. If a snake swallows a snake, what will happen to the snake that swallowed the snake? It will be a little bit bigger. And I don't think a snake can swallow two snakes. But this snake swallows like a fleet of snake. Do you understand? And it still remains the same. Same size. But the Bible uses a word. We use snake, but Bible uses a rod. A word. The Bible says, go back to 13. The Bible says what? No, 12. How did you come here so quick? For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpent. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. He's talking about authority. Because a rod is a symbol of authority. So the first sign God gave to Pharaoh is that I have collected all your power. Think about it. I've collected all your power. I want to teach. Hallelujah. So first thing God says, I have swallowed all your authority. Go and sit down. Shout that I am saved.
Come on, I am saved.
I am saved.
At this time, the people were not, they had not gone. They were still in the slavery. They were still going through the same thing they were going through. But they did not know that which was holding them. The power of it has been swallowed. Are we together in this place now? It means that, listen, when it comes to the saved, the enemy has no power left. I want to say that again. I said, when it comes to the saved, the enemy has no power left to torment your life. This is God's idea for what he calls the church. I belong to the church.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawum, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
Kobaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.